Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Signs. Signs are everywhere. Sometimes, maybe even in a sense, we kind of carry our own signs. Have you ever thought about how many signs you'll see in a day? Like if I just drive from my house a mile to the grocery store, I will see all kinds of signs, and parking signs, and stop signs, and directional signs, and store signs, and bumper sticker signs. Signs are everywhere. Signs, everywhere, the signs. And signs can be really effective, right? Because they communicate a message, sometimes creatively. I heard about some creative signs. These are kind of fun. There's a sign at a dry cleaner's that says, "Drop your pants here." Okay. All right. On the fence of a person's front yard, a sign says, "Salesman, welcome. Dog food is expensive." I like that. There's a sign on a maternity room door at the hospital that says, "Push, push, push." Pretty good, yeah. And then there's one at an animal clinic in the lobby that says, "Doctor will be with you soon. Sit, stay." You can explain it to whoever you're with on the way home. Signs communicate. Sometimes, though, signs miscommunicate, right? I found some signs for American tourists in foreign cities. These are actual signs. So, like, in a Moscow hotel, there's a sign that said, "If this is your first visit to the USSR, you are welcome to it." No, thanks. You can have it. I'm just visiting. There's a sign in a Norwegian cocktail lounge that said, "Ladies are requested not to have children at the bar." It's kind of messy. Yeah. And then this one in a Japanese hotel said, "You are invited to take advantage of the chambermaid." Thank you. I think I will. Signs everywhere. There's signs. You know, and when you post a sign, it says something about this message you want to communicate. It says something about you. People today will use their cars as signs, right? They'll put bumper stickers trying to communicate a message to those maybe driving behind them. A couple of creative bumper stickers. One says, "If we are what we eat, I'm cheap, fast, and easy." Yes. There's another bumper sticker that says, "Always remember you're unique, just like everyone else." Mm-hmm. And then another one said, "I want to die in my sleep like my grandfather, not screaming and yelling like the passengers in his car." All right. You know, people today will use their signs, not only bumper stickers, but they'll often today use your license plate as a sign, right? It's kind of personalized plates. And the trick with them is, because you can only use 7 letters, you have to kind of decipher what did this person mean to say through this combination of letters. My wife, Jen, she thinks she's exceptionally good at figuring out and decoding the license plate message. She's actually exceptionally bad at it. So, for instance, there was this car we kept seeing, and she swears to this day that the combination of letters on their license plate was intended to say to the world, "Never been wedgied." Never been wedgied. It's like, I can just picture this guy at the DMV, and the lady says, would you like personalized plate? And he's like, "Oh, yeah. What am I proud of?" I know. And it's since become like the mission of everyone who parks near him. They're like, "There he is, let's get him." Never been wedgied. Jake mentioned earlier that signs are found at churches as well, right? Like, you go to a church, there's signs. There's signs they put out. There's also some signs that are unspoken. But I found some signs for churches. Jake showed you a few earlier that had some mistakes on them. It wasn't intended to be the message that they actually communicated. For instance, during the lengthy illness of a pastor named Dr. Hargrove, one church had a little theological problem. Their sign said, "God is good. Dr. Hargrove is better." I don't think that's right. Some churches have problems with prepositions. One said, "Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community." I think they meant in our church and community, I'm pretty sure. And this church had a little spelling problem, or maybe just lacked a O. I'm not sure, but they have the sign out front. Actually, had the sign. It says, "Smile at someone who is hard to love. Say hell to someone who doesn't care much about you." I think hello is probably what they intended to say there, right? Signs, signs, everywhere, signs. You know, churches have signs that you can see, but churches also have signs you can't see. Do you know what I mean? Like you walk into a church and just pretty quickly you can pick up on things. Like just from the culture, from the way people treat you, you start to kind of read these signs, even if they aren't posted. If you've been to church, you probably know what I'm talking about. Like maybe you've been to a church where you walked in and there was a sign. You couldn't see it, but you could see it that said, "Who the heck are you and what are you doing here?" Right? There you just got this sense of like, I don't belong here, and I don't think they especially want me here. Or maybe you've walked into a church and went, "Ope," because the sign was, "Go home and change your clothes. Then you can come back and worship with us." Right? I actually know of a church in Florida where they have a closet of coats and ties, and if a guy shows up without one, they're going to put one on you so you can go into their service. At Verve, we figure if you're wearing something, that's good enough. You know, our dress code is, please do. Just wear something. Or maybe you've been to this church, a church where you walk in and the way it starts going down, you're like, there's a sign that says, "Warning, at some point in the service, we will embarrass you." Right? Like you realize, oh man, they're going to have me like get up and, well, we want to meet the new people or something like that. Or maybe you've been to a church where you got the idea, it's like, you can't come here unless your skin is the same color as ours. Or maybe you've been to a church where it was almost like this neon, shining, you know, blasting sign that says, "Your money matters to us. Get out your checkbook." Been to that church? Yeah. Or maybe you've been to a church where you kind of got this idea that they have this sign that says, if you have questions, if you have doubts, leave them outside. This is no place for questioning or doubting. Now, I think it's time for some churches to just rip down some of their signs. Because the tragedy is that there are a lot of people who really need God, and they're open to the idea of God. They're open to something spiritual in their life. They're searching. They're open. They're just not open to going to church. Because they've been to some, and they've read those signs. They've read those signs that have posted in one language or another, "Stay out. This is not really a place for you." And so they do stay out. They stay out in droves. Right? They stay away from the church. Not because they're hostile towards God, but because the church is inhospitable to them. I didn't really say that word very well, did I? Inhospitable. Inhospitable. There you go. And I don't know, maybe that's you. Maybe you're like, yep, that's me. I haven't been to church in years, or I've never gone, and that's the reason, because I know what church is like, and I don't want to be a part of that. And if that's you, and that's kept you away from church, I just want to tell you, man, honestly, I understand. And I don't blame you. You know, it's really interesting. If you read through Jesus' life, in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible, it's where we find kind of these biographies of Jesus' life. Jesus never one time went and picketed at City Hall. He never went once and, you know, gave this speech about social change at the Roman Senate. He never protested any of society's problems and evils, though there were many. But on two different occasions, Jesus went to the temple, to the place of worship where the believers gathered, and he cleaned house. I mean, he went at it. In effect, what he was doing was he was kind of tearing down some signs. Some signs that were keeping people from seeking and finding God. When really the temple was supposed to be the place where people are able to seek and find God. And I wonder if Jesus came to earth today, if maybe one of the first places he'd go would be to some churches. And he would go to clean house. He would go to tear down some of the signs that those churches have put up that have kept honest people from seeking God and finding God. And maybe he would put up some other signs. And what I want to do this morning is I want to talk to you about three signs that I'm sure Jesus would put up in every church. And there are three signs that we've tried to have up here at Verve from our very beginning 3.5 years ago. So the first sign is this. The first sign I think Jesus would put up and we have put up is, come as you are. Come as you are. Now, the first part of that sentence is just come. Come. There are actually a lot of people who don't really understand that they can come to church. Now, if you've grown up in church, maybe you've gone your whole life. We don't have a ton of people like that, but maybe that's you. You're probably like, what do you mean? Like, obviously, you can go to church, but not everybody understands that. I didn't. I grew up in a completely unchurched home. I never went to church once. And at the age of 20, I encountered the idea of Jesus for the first time and later came to believe and become a Christian. And then, after that, decided I should probably go to church. And so someone told me about a church in my town. They gave me the name of the church and the name of the pastor and the phone number for the church. And so I decided, all right, I'm going to go. I'm going to try this. And I called the church. This lady answered, and she said, Judy Beers, Church of Christ, may I help you? And I said, yeah, can I talk to the minister, Jim Walker? And she said, I'm sorry, he's not here. And I went, And she said, what's wrong? And I said, well, I'm sorry. I really wanted to come to church this Sunday. And she said, oh, he'll be here on Sunday. He'll be here. You can meet him then. Sure, I mean, you can meet him then. He's just not in the office right now. And I said, yeah, but I wanted to come this Sunday. How would I get in? She said, how would you get in? I said, yeah, I wanted to meet with, like, your pastor so I can get in. How would I get in? She said, how would you get in? I said, yeah, how would I get in? She said, do you mean how would you get here? Because I can give you directions. I said, no, I can get there. But when I get there, how would I get in? She said, how would you get in? I said, how would I get in? That's what I'm asking. How would I get in? She said, I'm sorry, sir. I don't, how would you get in? I don't understand. You said you can get here. So once you get here, I mean, you'll just walk in. And I said, but no, that's why I need to meet the pastor. So, I mean, don't I need like a permission slip or a invitation? Or, I mean, I can't just walk in. Don't I need something to show so I can get in? And she said, oh, no. No, you can just, you drive up and then just walk in. I said, this is true. I said, now, is that just your church? She said, no, that's every church. I said, let me get this straight. So this Sunday, I could just go to any church in America and just go walking in. And she said, yeah, that's exactly right. I said, I think that might be the strangest thing I have ever heard. And this old lady said to me, sir, I think you may be the strangest person I have ever talked to. It's awesome. Some people just don't know that they can come. And so we need to have the sign up at Verve all the time. It's just, you know, come. In fact, what we really need is for you to be our sign that invites people to come. And while we're on this topic, I just want to encourage you to invite, like, everyone you know to be here next week. Next week, we're starting our I Want a Movie Life series. People love it. It's a lot of fun. We look at some, like, recent blockbusters. We're going to be looking at, like, Great Gatsby. And next week, we're going to do the movie The Impossible. If you did not see The Impossible, rent it. It's really good. And we'll talk about that next week, Ewan McGregor and somebody else. And good movie. It really is good. But here's what we're going to do. To help you, to invite people to come, to be this sign that invites people to come, on your seat today, there was a little bundle of 10 invite cards. And so I want to encourage you to think of 10 people who don't go to church and hand one to them. And you don't need to give some big speech. Just be like, hey, I don't think you go to church. I go to a fun church. It's completely probably not what you'd expect. It's church for people who don't like church. You should come try it. We're starting this new, cool, fun movies thing. Like, you should come this Sunday. You don't need to make it like some big thing or whatever. Just say, hey, I'd love for you to come. Like, I'll look for you and invite 10 people. Okay, so think about people in your neighborhood, people at work. Now, also, on your way out today, if you would, it's up to you, obviously, but we have bundles of 100. And that's not for people who have 100 friends. I'm not assuming any of you have 100 friends. What the deal is with this is, if you would, this week, take, it'll be about an hour. You could do that in like 1 hour increment or 2 30-minute increments, 4 15-minute increments, 10 6-minute increments, whatever you want. But put these on people's doors. Here's what I don't mean. I don't want you to knock on anyone's door. I don't want you to have a conversation. I don't want to be some weird church that's like, they just showed up at my door. What I mean literally is just take these and just kind of stick them in the person's door. Like, you know, like if you got one for like a pizza restaurant or something. A ton of people who come to Verve came because they got one of these things on their door. It actually works. And so if you, on the way out, we're going to have somebody saying, would you like a bundle? And you'll say, yes, please. You might even say, might I have another? And take two bundles, which would mean you'd have 2 hours, which would be like 2 hour increments or 8 15-minute increments, or I can't even do the math. But But just go for a walk. It'll be some good. Woo, there's a rubber band flying at somebody. It'll be some good exercise for you, and it will be a way of you just saying, come. You know what? We have a church. You're invited to come, and there will be people like I was who will be like, I did not even know, and I did not know I could come. So I hope you'll take some of those because we need to let people know that they can come. But the sign says more than just come. It says come as you are. Right? Come as you are. You know, some churches do not do a good job of making people feel welcome. I have a friend named Mike. Mike, several years ago, moved to Florida, and so he and his wife, Kristen, started looking for a church to go to, and so they went to this one church, and they were like, oh, this is pretty good, we like this, but then the pastor got up, started preaching, and he just yelled, like he just seemed very angry, and he just yelled a lot, and so they filled out their little connection card, which we've got connection cards if you'd like to fill it out. So a couple days later, three people knock on their door from the church. If you fill out a connection card here, we will not show up at your house. We don't do that, okay? We will send you some information in the mail. But three people show up at their house, and they open the door, and they're like, hey, we're from the church on Sunday. And they're like, oh, hey. And they're like, can we come in? And they're like, sure. And so they come in, and they start talking, and they say, well, could you tell us, what did you think of our service? So my friend Mike says, honestly, I really liked it. Like, there was a lot of good things, but, man, your pastor? What is he so angry about? Like, I mean, he starts the sermon, he's just yelling, and he's yelling, and he's yelling, and he's yelling. Like, what? Why does he have to yell so much? So these three guys are sitting across the room. One of them says, do you know who our pastor is? And my friend Mike says, yeah, I think his name was Ken. And the guy says, that's me. I'm Ken. I'm the pastor. And my friend Mike, who hadn't recognized that this was the pastor who was yelling so much, said, sir, you're a lot nicer when you're not yelling. Some churches are just not very welcoming. They're kind of intimidating, but we are a come-as-you-are kind of church, right? We want to have this sign that always hangs prominently at Vertus. It's like, come as you are. Come as you are with your doubts, with your questions, with your tattoos and your piercings, with your agnosticism, with your atheism, with your family problems, with your broken heart, with your embarrassing history, with your financial difficulties, with your failures and your insecurities. Come as you are with your racial background, with your social stigmas, with whatever haircut you have and whatever clothes you want to wear. Come as you are. Come as you are. But you know, come as you are goes deeper than just what you look like on the outside. I mean, it's about what's on the inside, you know, what's deep inside in your heart. Come as you are means that this is a place where you can actually feel safe and be genuine. That may take you some time to kind of get the feel and go, okay, this really is a safe place, but where I don't have to pretend. I don't have to kind of have this veneer, this, you know, this image of everything's good, where you can just be honest. And the cool thing is, this is a place where you can be vulnerable because people won't hurt you here. And instead, we'll just love you deeper because we know you better. Right? So you can come as you are. You know, some people like to pretend that everything's perfect. You know, you talk to them, and every time they're like, oh, no, everything's great. They give you this impression like, my family's perfect, and my job is going awesome, and, you know, my background is lily white. There's no secrets back there. There's nothing wrong. And the reality is that is not true for anyone. And that's why one of the sayings we have at Verve, in fact, you walked past the sign today that said it, says no perfect people allowed, because there are no perfect people, right? There are imperfect people, and there are liars, right, who like to make you think they're perfect. And it's like, if you're a liar, you're not going to fit in here because we're just going to be honest here. Come as you are. The church, every church, but our church needs to be a place that people feel safe to come. And that's what Verve is. And it's what Verve is because it's what Jesus is. In fact, Jesus talked about this a lot. I want to show you a couple of verses. And we'll put all the verses on the screen today so you can read them as we talk about them. And if you don't have a Bible, by the way, if you don't own one, we give them out for free at the Velcro Bar. So just grab a Bible on your way out. Our free gift to you, no catch, no cost. We don't need your social security number or anything like that. So check this out. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Isn't that cool? He didn't say, come to me, all you who are perfect and holy, and we can be religious together. You know? No, he said, hey, if you got issues, if you got problems, if you are weary and feel like you're carrying a burden, come to me because I can give you real rest for your soul. And then he said in Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 17 in the Bible, he says, here's the word again, come, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. And so I would just encourage you to not let anything keep you from Jesus. Don't let anything stop you from coming to Jesus, because what he's offering you is what you need. He's offering you rest. He's offering you life. And so if you're thirsty for something different or something better, come. If you have questions and doubts, come. If you've never been to church before, or you walked out and said you'd never go back, come. Come as you are. And that has to be a sign that always hangs prominently at Verve. And I think it has since we began 3.5 years ago. The second sign. That we need to have hanging here is a sign that says, grace happens. Grace happens. I love this verse in the New Testament of the Bible in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. It says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. It's talking to people who follow Jesus, who believe in Jesus, and it's like, man, do your best to make sure that no one misses out on the grace of God. It's like, God's grace is so good. Man, it would be a crime for anyone to miss out on it, so don't let anyone miss out on grace. But what is grace? Do you ever, when you were a kid, play football or something in the street? And so you got this group of kids and you're playing, and the quarterback throws a pass and the receiver is about to catch it, and like the neighbor's dog comes and like runs into the receiver and he falls over, or maybe like a car comes down the road and everybody has to scramble, and everyone would start yelling something at that point. They would yell, do over, right? Did you guys yell do over? Be like, oh, wait, that's not fair, do over, right? Like, that play doesn't count. We need a do over. Right? Am I the only group of friends who yell do over? You guys yell, yeah, do over, yeah, do over. Here's what I think. I think there are a lot of adults, people all over Las Vegas, who have this question of, could there be a do over for me? Could I get a do over? Because I've made a few bad decisions along the way. There have been a couple of times where I made the wrong turn in my life's journey, and it's not like everything's bad, but there are some things I wish could be different. There are some regrets I have, and is there any way I could have a do-over? The word grace means to get the opposite of what you deserve. It means that grace is God offering you the opposite of what you deserve, which we should be really thankful for. Grace is God giving us a second chance, and then a third chance, and a fourth, and then a fifth chance. Grace is a do-over. And the message that Jesus came to bring is grace happens. Grace happens. And I realize some of you might be thinking, you might say, but Vince, I have done way too much. Grace happens. but I think I have gone way too far. Grace happens. But I had an affair. And grace happens. I've been divorced. Grace happens. I have wasted my entire life. Whew, grace happens. I've been abusive. Grace happens. I had an abortion. Grace happens. I realize I've lived my entire life as a religious hypocrite. Grace happens. Grace happens. I mean, look at Jesus' life. I really would encourage you to look at Jesus' life in those books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that are kind of the biographies of Jesus' life. And one of the things you'll notice is that Jesus did not hang around with the good people, the religious people, the beautiful people, the successful people, the talented people. Jesus hung out with the ordinary people. Honestly, the messy people. He hung out with like the people who had kind of social stigmas, that everyone else was like, I'll be friends with anyone except for that guy. And Jesus was like, I'll be friends with that guy. Every story you're like, man, that's who Jesus hung out with. It was people who recognized that they needed grace. And it upset everyone else. All the religious people would be like, what is he doing? The guy is friends with sinners. Why do you hang out with these people? And the answer was, because of grace. It's grace. And grace means forgiveness. Grace means freedom. It means release from your past and hope for your future. And because of Jesus, grace happens. Grace happens. Let's look at another verse in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And I wonder what your picture of God looks like. So many people think of God as having like this scowl on his face and this pointing long finger. This verse describes God as being having great love and being rich in mercy. That's what God looks like. And it says, because of our transgressions, which means because we've made mistakes, because we've taken the wrong roads, we were kind of dead. It's kind of like our life had kind of come to these, you know, these dead ends where it's like, I took the wrong road, now I'm stuck. But it says, it is by grace you have been saved. God offers us a do-over. We get a do-over. What this verse is saying is so powerful. It's so important. It's saying that God's grace reaches farther than your worst mistakes. That is good. I just think there are so many people who are wondering, can God really forgive all the things I've done? Even the worst of the things I've done. Even forgive them completely. Or maybe that's too much to ask. But yes, he can. And the reason is because grace happens. And that is a sign that Jesus would put on this place. And it's a sign that we've been trying to hang prominently for ever since day one. One more sign. There's one more sign I think Jesus would hang and that we have tried to post here. And this sign says, you matter to God. You matter to God. And personally, I think that may be the greatest truth in the entire world. It's astounding. As big as God is, as incomprehensible maybe as God is, you matter to him. You matter to him. You know, I think that people today are searching for like spiritual significance, maybe like never before. It's really interesting. I mean, you pull out magazines from a magazine rack, like the most popular magazines, or look through newspapers, and there are so many articles about having, and finding a spiritual purpose. And then you look through, like, the New York Times bestseller list of books, and there are spiritual themes all over the place. You listen to the music of our generation, and you're going to hear a bunch of songs about people searching for something more, something better, something spiritual. People are searching for a heavenly father that maybe they never even knew. You guys hear about Karen Chang? Karen Chang was the first person in history to achieve a perfect score on both sections of her SATs and score a perfect 8,000 on the California Acceptance Index. She is the first person in history to achieve this intellectual feat. I only missed by one point. I'm not trying to brag, but just saying. Just kidding. But this girl's brilliant. I mean, one of the most brilliant people who's ever walked the face of the earth. And she was interviewed for this story about her. And the interviewer went a little deeper. He asked her this. He said, Karen, what is the meaning of life? And this brilliant girl replied, I have no idea. I would like to know myself. You know, science and technology have helped us answer so many questions, honestly. But people still have no idea how to answer some of life's most important questions. Like, who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? What's the purpose of life? Is there really a God? Can I know him? Can I really have a relationship with him? What's going to happen to me after I die? And the Bible says that the answers to all those questions are all wrapped up in us having a relationship with God. The Bible says that God so loves us that he sent his son, he sent Jesus to live for us and to die for us so that we could have a relationship with him that would bring this sense of resolution to all these questions that we've been wrestling with. And I need to tell you this. This pumps me up, man. This idea that you matter to God. It's why, honestly, I love watching people walk into this place. I love seeing people come into this place for the first time. Maybe people who have been hurting. Maybe people who have had their self-image damaged a little bit. Because I know that they're going to come into this place and they're going to hear this message that you matter to God. You matter to God. And then I can't wait to watch as God starts to heal their wounded souls and he starts to empower them with a sense of purpose and meaning. And right now, I want to tell you this. Man, you may not matter to your parents, but you matter to God. You may not matter to your kids, but you matter to God. You may not matter very much to your spouse, but you matter to God. You may not matter to your boss, but you matter to God. You may not matter even to your friends, but you matter to God. Back in that book called Ephesians in the Bible, it was written to people who lived in Ephesus. They were called Ephesians. It says this. It says, "And I pray," up on the screen, "and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." And I got to tell you, that's my prayer too. Like, that's what I pray for me, it's what I pray for my family, and it's what I pray for everyone who walks into Verve, is that we could somehow, and it's not even possible, but we could somehow start to come to terms, to grips with how wide and long and high and deep and absolutely audacious God's love for us really is. He is head over heels in love with you. And you can tell me if I'm wrong, but man, I think that's what we all really want. You know, what we all really are searching for is to be loved perfectly, right? To be loved unconditionally, to be loved for who we are, as messy as we are. Right? And we sometimes will hide that search for love, or sometimes we kind of turn it to other things. I want to be successful at work, or I want, you know, but I think down deep, what we just want to be is loved. And God loves you with a perfect love, and he's inviting you to love him back, to have this love relationship with him. That's really what Christianity is all about. It's what church is supposed to be all about, and it's what Verve is all about. And it's what you and I really need. And so, man, I want to tell you, whether you're someone who comes here every week, or maybe you're here for the first time in a while, or maybe you haven't been to church in years, or maybe this is your first time ever coming. Listen, if you would receive and really embrace this, if you would open yourself up to God's love in a relationship with him, because you matter to him, and because with him, grace happens. With him, you get a do-over. If you really received and embraced this, it would change your life. It really would. It just like it has for these people from Verve.
I didn't believe in Jesus. I didn't believe in God. I felt people that went to church were basically hypocrites. That's what I grew up knowing. And I didn't believe in it. I didn't believe how people could just rely on something that wasn't there and that you couldn't see or touch. Yet there was something missing. The entire time that I was looking down on everyone else and wondering what they were thinking about, I just felt empty.
Before Verve, I was desperate. Desperate lifestyle, desperate people. I was born into addiction and was desperately trying to end my life any way I could.
Before I came to Verve, I was depressed. I didn't have any direction. I felt disconnected. I did not know what I was doing with my life. I just knew something was missing. I didn't feel a part of anything. I was lost.
I was destructive with myself. I gambled. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. And I generally had a dislike and hatred for all people.
Before I came to Verve, I was very selfish. I was very self-centered. I only thought about my self-satisfaction and only pleasing myself, which led to decisions in my life like many affairs, and it made me very angry, not only with myself, but with other people.
Now that I've come to Verve and started my relationship with God and Jesus, all those empty parts of me are completely fulfilled. I finally, for the first time in my life, feel completely whole.
Now at Verve, I have hope. Hope for myself, for my family, hope that my life will mean something. God has given me the hope that nothing else ever could.
Since I came to Verve, I'm like an entirely different person. Like, I now see why I was so lost. It's because I didn't have love in my life, or not the true love that I know now.
After coming to Verve for a short time, I've become more giving. Giving of myself to others, and I've learned to love myself.
Since coming to Verve and putting Jesus in my life, I have learned how to love, first of all, more importantly, Jesus and myself and others. And this I am very grateful for, and the love I just want to share with everyone.
We're going to give you a couple of minutes to think about this. We do this every week at Verve, and the idea is, instead of just rushing out to life and kind of putting this behind us, just to pause for a minute and to say, okay, what do I need to do with this? And what would happen if I really embraced this? Like, what would happen in your life if you really embraced this idea that you are loved by God, that you can have a relationship with God, that you really matter to Him, that with Him grace happens, that you get a do-over? Maybe He could take your life, as messy as maybe it's become, and turn it into something really beautiful. So the band's going to play a song. We're going to give you, I don't know, like 3 minutes just to think about that. Maybe even to think about, what's my next step? You know, life's all about this journey. What is the next step in my journey? What's something I could do to get closer to where I need to be? And so maybe your next step, maybe you kind of got dragged here today by a friend and you're not planning on coming back. Maybe your next step could be, I'll come back next week. And once at a time, I will come back next week. Maybe it's that. Maybe you're next step, maybe you've been coming for a while, and maybe you've heard us talk about this class we do called Verge. It's a 6-week course for people who are trying to figure this all out. Starts in October. Maybe you're like, I will sign up for that. I'm just going to kind of commit to myself today. That class is all about how to find and live in a relationship with God. How do you do that? I'll take that class. Sounds cool. Maybe your next step is to say, I'm going to grab like a couple stacks of those postcards, those invite cards, and I'm going to put them on doors because, man, I want to make sure everyone knows that they can come. I want everyone to experience what I have. I don't want to be selfish with it. So band's going to play a song and give you a chance just to think about that. During this time, we also make communion available. Communion's on the tables around the room, and it's a piece of bread, a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given on the cross for us. And it's this very tangible way that Jesus gave us to remember what He did for us because we matter to Him, because He wanted to offer us grace, because He's inviting us to come. He made this sacrifice for us, and so we remember that in communion. If you'd like to take communion, you can go during the song, grab it, bring it back, and when you're ready, you can take it. And if you're like, we're not there yet, this is weird, I understand, you can just stay where you're at. And just kind of listen to the music, think about the words, and maybe think about your next step. Okay, so I'm going to pray a song, and then we're just about done. A couple more minutes. God, I just pray. I pray that every person in this room, including myself, would increasingly embrace these ideas because they're not easy for us. This idea that You're inviting us to come into a relationship with you. And it's just so easy to think about all the mistakes we've made and how messy we really are, and just to assume that there's no way that God would have a place for me. But would you really help us to embrace this idea that grace happens, that we can get a fresh start and a do-over and a second chance with you? And God, it's all possible because we actually matter to you. It's crazy to think about, but you really care about each of our lives, and you really do want that relationship. And God, we thank you for that. And my prayer is that we would all experience that, and we would all take steps towards that. We all have a next step to take. God, I thank you for Jesus coming for us to show us love, and for dying for us as the ultimate expression of love, and for communion as a reminder of that. And we pray all these things, God, in Jesus' name, amen.